Let us pray. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and in believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in John, the ninth chapter, the first 12 verses. Hear now the word of God. As he walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made some mud with a saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors of those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." But he kept saying, "I'm the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. It's hard to believe that this is the fourth Sunday in Lent. It seems like it was just yesterday or last night that we were having Ash Wednesday. It was that night that we talked about Nicodemus, the most of righteous of people, in the ruling class of Pharisees, ruling council, who should have gone in the daytime, who goes to Jesus at night. You know, night, when things are hidden, where things are not out in the open, he goes then. That first Sunday, we talked about the Cana in Galilee, about the changing, moving, the miracle or the sign of changing water into wine. How the sign in John is where the kingdom of God breaks into our lives. We then talked about the Samaritan woman at the well, the antithesis of Nicodemus. She was so bad, they would not allow her to go with the other women in the morning to the well. She had to go in the middle of the day when nobody was there, but she was in broad daylight in the worst, and Nicodemus was the best and went at night. It was kind of a different kind of thing. Last week, we talked about the woman caught in adultery. There in the temple courts, they brought her, and Jesus told him, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." And so today, we are in chapter 9. They're still in Jerusalem. This is an optical illusion. Y'all know what an optical illusion is? I looked up a bunch of optical illusions yesterday. Some of them are pretty cool. The first optical illusion I ever saw was when I saw a mirage. Y'all know what that is. It looks like water's on the horizon, and I can't remember how many movies I saw where people would walk toward that mirage and die in the desert trying to get to that water. That was what they used to talk about when I was a kid. Then I started looking at others, and there would be like hidden pictures within this optical illusion. You would think you were looking at this, but whoa, there's a woman in there. Oh, no, there's five women in there. Oh, what? I saw one of the coolest ones. It showed a cat. It said it was a cat. It looked like the cat was going up some stairs. And as the video kept moving, it turned into a dog that was walking downstairs. It was truly an optical illusion. This scripture is an optical illusion about optical things. That's really kind of weird. It looks like it's about something, but it's about someone else. We think You would think, oh, the blind man is the main character. No, Jesus is always the main character. But it is about a man who supposedly is blind, but it's really everybody else who's blind. It just so happens. It's an interesting thing. They are walking along the way, and there is a man who was born blind. Apparently, they knew it. They were walking toward him. They had seen him before. And as it would be among a bunch of people who are theological in nature, they start talking about hypotheticals. Who sinned, Jesus? Was it the man who's blind, or was it his parents? That's what theological people talk about. We talked about that. We would stay up late at night in seminary talking about things that were big that you could not answer. Well, they were asking a question that was still, we ask the question today. You see, in Deuteronomy, y'all remember that book in the Old Testament? The fifth book of the Torah, the Pentateuch. If you've been reading your Bible, it's long. It's long. It's a retelling of some of the things you've already heard. But Moses tells a sermon. And Moses says that if you sin, that sin can be punished for multiple generations, to 3 to 4 generations. And so when bad luck happened to people or things that happened, you could actually say, it wasn't me who was a sinner, it was my grandfather. The reason I'm blind is because of my grandfather. But there was also a thing during the time of Jesus that rabbis would teach. It wasn't widely accepted, but that a baby in the womb could commit sin. And so, if you were reading Chronicles where there is immediate retribution, the baby is the one that must have sinned while he was in the womb. And so they are talking about things that are hypothetical, things that they never will find the answer to, but sometimes we have those same questions. I wonder if it was the mother, some sin that she committed while she was pregnant. We might not say it that way, but we think it, don't we? We think about these sins. How far do they go down to the next and the next and the next generation? Well, they were talking hypotheticals. And they missed the fact that there was a person in need. They were blinded to the fact that there was a man who was born blind who needed help. Have y'all ever known anybody who's gone blind? There are people who, we know that people who've gone blind, that's bad. That's really bad. But it's not the worst. The worst is being born blind. If you have gone blind, you have more than likely seen the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset, the beauty of flowers. You've seen the beauty of God's creation. You've seen the beauty of humankind. You've seen things. But a person who's born blind has lived in darkness their entire life. There is not a lot of hope in the person who has never seen the light. And they couldn't see that. All they wanted to talk about was something that they could not do anything about. And I think about all the meetings I've been in my life where we talked about missions or ministry to a group of people, and all we end up doing is talking about it without ever connecting the fact that what we're talking about are actually people in need. Sometimes we are just as blind. We want to have another committee meeting or another Bible study on helping the poor, or we want to do something else and something else and something else, and then we're still blind to the fact that there are people in need. Those were the first blind people. They couldn't see the man was in need, and what Jesus did was help the man in need. The second group of people that are blind in this story are the neighbors. The man goes somehow, I don't know how, maybe he knew his way to the pool of Siloam or somebody helped him get there, but he gets there with the mud on his eyes, he washes his eyes, and he can see. And the neighbors say, some say, this is the beggar. And some said, no, it's not. It's a man who looks like the beggar. Some people don't know it's the beggar because they have been blind to this man all his life who's been begging all this time. Sometimes we aren't capable of seeing people. This happened to me Friday. I hope you're somewhat like me sometimes. I don't want to be the only one who's a sinner in this group. But Friday, I was busy. Friday afternoon, I was going hither and yon, and I was heading to Kroger at Jet Ferry, whatever that road is, over there. You know where I'm talking about. I pull in. I have two or three texts that are going off while I'm driving. I have a phone call that I couldn't answer the phone, all these things, and I drive in. I answer all that stuff. I go buy my purchases, and I come back out, and as I'm driving out of the same exit, same way I entered, there is a couple sitting there that I did not know even existed. They were there. They had to have been there when I drove in, but I could not see them. And the reality hit me is that I was too busy to notice the people who were in need. Some of you might have saw. It was a man and a wife. They had a sign up, needed food, needed formula, needed diapers, needed. And the reality hit me, mainly because I'm guessing the Lord knew I was preaching this sermon and I needed to confess it. But sometimes I am too busy and you're too busy that we cannot see the need that's right in front of us. And that gets painful too. So luckily for me, I had some money in my wallet that my wife must have left in there. Because I usually don't have money. And so I was able to help them. But I could actually solve them. And I think about all the ways in my life where I have been too busy to see people who hurt. And I'm blind. I'm as blind as the man who was born blind. Because when we don't see them, we don't see that they don't have hope. We just don't see the dire straits they're in. We don't see. We don't care. And they missed something else. In the scripture that I didn't read, because this story goes on for 41 verses, the whole ninth chapter is about this story of the man born blind and Jesus healing him. And then, in fact, Jesus talks about it in the 10th chapter for 21 verses. But I spared you those 60 verses. But in the next group of verses, the Pharisees catch wind about Jesus. Now, what did he do? Asking the man who was formerly blind. What did he do? Because it was the Sabbath. All they knew was Jesus did something on the Sabbath. Now, according to, if you think about it, all that Jesus did was spit in the dirt, make some mud, and wipe it on his eyes, but God would not have done that. God would not have spit, stirred up the dirt, and rubbed it on his eyes. That must have been too much like work. And he kept saying, he is not a man of God, he is a sinner. And God does not use sinners. Right? God cannot use a sinner. They were so locked in to everything that they were doing that they believe God only worked in a certain way. And God would never work on the Sabbath. God would never do anything kind on the Sabbath. God would never use a sinner, period. This man is not of God. And the man who was formerly blind said, all I know was, I was blind, now I see. Sometimes I have seen myself, and I've seen it in church. In my first church, 20 years ago, they believed that the only way someone can come to know Jesus is that you have a week-long revival. You had to have a week-long revival. It couldn't be 3 days. It had to be a week. It's better if you use a tent. If you can't use a tent, the church will do. When I was growing up, the Billy Graham Crusades, everybody, in my household, if Billy Graham was on TV, there was nothing else on TV for the whole week, right? And the thing was, nobody could accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior unless Just As I Am was singing. Nobody had ever accepted Christ but through Just As I Am. And a bunch of us have done that. I'm not diminishing it. But in some ways, you had to sing. When I was growing up, in our Sunday night service, we sang Just As I Am 51 weeks of the year. Every single verse. And if nobody came down, we sang it again. But that's the only way God would work, because it works for Billy. And if God's not going to work in Just As I Am, God is not going to work at all. And sometimes we get to the place where God can only work because this is the way I've experienced Him. As if God is not bigger than we are. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's a question. Yes, okay. So, is God doing anything new? But He's the same as He was. God, do we believe God was a creator? If He was a creator then, is He still a creator today? So if He's doing new things then, He can do new things now, right? So it's okay for God to do something new. We really want Him to do something new in us. Right? I was sinking deep in sin. Some of us still are. We want Him to do something new in us to change us. So it's okay for God to do something new in a different way, but the Pharisees and the legalists could not see that. And God would never work in this man's life this way on the Sabbath. And they missed the point. Everybody had missed the point. They could not see that God had done a miracle in the life of this blind man, and he had been set free from the darkness he had ever known. They should have been rejoicing and praising God, but they were too blind to see. And the question becomes for me in my life, when am I so blind that I hinder God from doing something new and seeing God do work in other people, and I hinder Him doing work in myself? And how often does the blindness and our rigidness and our inability to think God can do something new in our own life, do we stop Him from working? And when are we in our blindness? Are we stopping God from doing something new here? Because it never has been done before. Or He would never do it that way. Or really, we need to meet about it a few more times. This is Lent. And we're looking at ourselves. But to look at ourselves, we have to have eyes to see. We got to rub some mud in our eyes and wash our faces in Siloam so that we might see and be able to say, all I know was, He put mud on my eyes. I washed my face. I was blind, and now I see. And that's the way God is working in my life today. He's doing something new. Let us pray. Lord God, do a new thing in us. Let us do a new thing. You do a new thing in us. Help us see what you want us to see. Help us be willing to celebrate and rejoice in all the things you're doing all over the world and in the people of God here in this place. And let us celebrate what you want to do in us. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.